Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss block 3, intersectionalities. In this block, we will talk about unit 8 with the title caste, race and ethnicity. Today, we will discuss about some key concepts such as race, caste, ethnicity and their intersection with gender. We will talk about how caste, race and gender can be social constructs. And then we will analyze the various forms of oppression on women of marginalized sections and how they resisted and challenged the oppression and healed themselves and their people. So the primary goal of this unit is to bring caste, ethnicity and race under one umbrella and to talk about the various concepts, movements, intersectionalities and the key issues within the field of race, caste and ethnicity. The intersections of these three concepts with gender are also discussed to understand the position of women. Caste, race and ethnicity are the markers of identity which are often used by a section of society to discriminate against the other. Social inequality happens when there is an unequal sharing of resources and rewards. While in a caste system, this is done based on the caste status, in a racially charged society, it is done based on skin color and economic privileges or disadvantages that go along with it. So, in both cases, the identity of the individual is based on one's birth. So, it depends on one's birth. So, if one is born in a lower caste, he or she has the privileges or disadvantages that go along with it. In a racial situation, based on one's birth, if they are born in a particular race, similar case with caste, even in the racial situation, their privileges or disadvantages are determined by in which race they are born in. Ethnicity, on the other hand, can be defined as belonging to a group that shares the origin of country, languages, ancestry, religion, or culture. People of the same race can be of various ethnicities. Some of the common ways of life followed by the people of shared ethnicities are diet, shared history, language, dance, music, clothing, burial customs, etc. Now let's take a closer look at the terms caste, race and ethnicity. The term caste derived from the Latin castus, meaning pure, and was given by the Portuguese travelers. Caste is the hierarchic ordering of the society under Hinduism sanctioned by various ancient scriptures. It is an ascribed status which is given from birth. Territorially limited, the membership is determined by birth and therefore unchanging. So, caste cannot be, it is determined at birth and it is unchanged. Jyotirao Phule, Savitribai Phule, Ambedkar are some of the earlier reformers who exposed the caste system and its exploitation of the underprivileged. Now, let's turn to race. What is race? Race is defined as a powerful social category forged historically through oppression, slavery, and conquest. Race and ethnicity are complex terms that are often interchangeably used by people. The distinction earlier was based on defining race based on biological quality, while ethnicity on a cultural phenomenon. Ethnicity denotes groups that share a common identity-based language, culture, or ancestry. It can be based on customs, religion, heritage, beliefs, or their reminiscences of migration or colonization too. Though race in itself is not a very dangerous term, the racism or racialism that emerged as a result of this distinction has a far-fetched impact on a large section of people. Racism advocates the superiority of one race morally, intellectually, physically, and behaviorally over the other. While the discriminations based on race and ethnicity affect the communities, the combined effect of gender and racial discrimination has a devastating effect on women of color. the literatures written by African American and other indigenous women portray how their life differed from the white woman. So, it becomes imperative for us to look at the evolution of these women's writings, fighting the various odds. The complex interaction of multiple identities as a result of the intersection of various axes of social power like gender, class, caste, race, ethnicity is important in understanding women's writings. Movements always played a major role in changing the perceptions and prejudices of society, and hence it is important for us to look at the various Black and Dalit movements that led to the social change in perception of race and caste, and also its limitations in addressing its women. So let's move on to the Black and Dalit movements. Social movements are one of the important social forms that give voice to the concerns of the rights and well-being of individuals comprising of themselves and others through collective action and public protest. The Black Panther movement is one of the important movements that took place in America against the oppressive white society. This movement, though lasted only for 16 years, its lasting impact is seen in Black empowerment and movements like Black Lives Matter and Dalit Panther movement. So Dalit Panther movement took motivation from the Black Panther movement. However, the role of women in such important movements has been a topic of discussion of late, with more Black women coming out and expressing their marginalization within such movements. This is visible in the Dalit Panther movement originated in India as well, where this is a move inspired by the Black Panther movement and the principles of Ambedkar. The co-founders of the movement were Namdeo Dhasal, Raja Dhale, J.V. Pawar and Arun Kamble, who were established poets and writers whose writings centered on the exposure of the oppression of Dalits and their struggle for a change. If you notice, even here, the male members of the movement had a bigger role to play and the women were pushed to the periphery. The Dalit movement identified its enemies as the upper caste landlords, government, capitalists and moneylenders. However, despite including women under the oppressed group in the movement, Dalit Panther movement, like the Black Panther movement, neglected the concerns of women. While their fight was against the larger factors that were oppressive, the various oppressions faced by women, unlike the male members of the community, did not find any representation in these movements. While the Black and Dalit Panther movements are centered around men, the mainstream feminism, including Western and the Indian feminism, overlooks the problems faced by the marginalized women. So the focus is on the women in the feminist movements. The mainstream feminism, which is divided into three phases, never incorporated the diverse problems women had coming from a heterogeneous background. They try to homogenize the experience. The Dalit and Black women are either encapsulated in the role of the mother or that of the victimized sexual being. A significant shift in the feminist studies happened only in the 1980s and 90s when Black and Third World women started finding more visibility. Bell Hooks, the African American feminist and author, states that Black feminists found that sisterhood for the most white women did not mean surrendering allegiance to race, class, and sexual preference. We witnessed the appropriation of feminist ideology by elitist, racist white women. This is a very interesting quote from Bell Hooks, because feminism, which claims to be an all-encompassing movement for women, actually overlooked the racial subjugation. The Black feminists mainly point at the silence of the white feminists in addressing the differences within the movement. So like we have discussed earlier, the struggles of a white woman are completely different from the struggles of a Black woman. And these differences were not notified, or these differences were not considered within the feminist movement. They feel the movement to be inherently white, ignoring the experiences of the marginalized by propounding a universal women's question. This Black feminist thought is believed to have emerged in the 1990s with the writings of Patricia Hill Collins and Hazel Carby. These writings centered on Black women's experience. Slowly, a canon of Black writing emerged. So the Black feminism is working for emancipation and empowerment, not just in relation to the whites, but also concerning black men and then white women. The subjugation of the black woman by the black men as well as the white women. Now, when we compare it to the Dalit women's writings, we may see a similar trend in the Dalit women's writings and Dalit feminism. Dalit feminism questions the patriarchal domination in the Dalit movement and the Brahminism of the feminist movement. Just like the fight against racial discrimination faced by the blacks was the sole responsibility of the blacks, the caste discrimination faced by the Dalits were to be tackled solely by the Dalits. One of the problems with the women movements in India is that the left-inclined women's movements looked at the class as the oppressive factor by including caste under class, and the autonomous women's group believed in sisterhood. All the women are victims and thus lead to the exclusion of the experience of the Dalits as something different. The difference is more evident when one analyzes caste-based violence against women. While for the upper caste, dowry deaths, a control on the mobility of women and their sexuality are chief restraints, a Dalit woman is more likely to face public threat of rape, physical violence and sexual assault at both the workplace and also in the public. As discussed in the previous section, the various movements that culminate in erasing the evils of the society fail to include the black, Dalit or indigenous women and their oppression as a point of concern. This exclusion is not limited to social movements alone, but to the other spheres as well. Hence, the various kinds of oppressions faced by these women are categorized as triple oppression of women of color. What are these triple oppressions? These are 1. Dalits oppressed by upper castes, blacks and indigenous oppressed by the whites. The second oppression is agricultural workers subject to class oppression, mainly at the hands of the upper caste landowners, white landlords. And then the third oppression is women facing patriarchal oppression at the hands of all men, including men of their own caste and race. While women's movement considered patriarchy as the sole source of their oppression, their writings disregarded other criteria like caste, color, class, which played an equal role in discriminating against people. The oppressors in the case of these marginalized women are the white or the upper caste men and women and also their own men. So, the colored women's writing aims to transform not only the Savarna and the white society, but also the attitude of their own male folk. Now let's look at the women's contribution to the literary canon. The women writers centered their writings on narrating a life which was marred by racism, casteism and colonization and was constantly engaged in the process of decolonization. According to Ruby Langford Ginibi, the main intention behind their writing is to show the other side or the white side, the difficulties faced by these people who are torn between the black and white culture. Maria Campbell, on the other hand, the native Canadian writer, speaks about the condition of women who are half-breeds. The life of half-breeds is worse than that of the native or white women, as they are considered impure as a result of the mixed blood they have inherited from the black and white parents that they have. Autobiography is one of the important genres used commonly by these marginalized women writers. The idea of autobiography is to write about one's life story authentically. Although one may question the idea of authenticity, it becomes imperative for the readers to understand that reading these texts from the Western perspectives and Western theories alone will not give the meaning. One may have to look at the lived experience of these people to understand the life of whoever is writing the autobiography. One of the strategies employed by these writers is to deliberately choose and omit certain parts of their lives in their autobiographies. There is an overlap of fantasy and memory in many stories. It is actually the author's perspective and not the whole truth that is found in the work. Ruby Langford's Don't Take Your Love to Town, which was published in 1988, is about the struggle of a woman against the odds of the society. The book discusses the issues related to men, marginalization, sexuality, labor, law, along with the conditions of the women of the community. The marginalized women have been written about than they have been able to write about themselves. So others have written more about the marginalized women than they have written about themselves. They were often written by the white missionaries and authors without any consideration for the accuracy or cultural sensitivity, which has constructed them as the voiceless other. the only voice they were assumed to have was given by the white researchers. So it's always in the perspective of the white person. It is never in the perspective of the person who is actually marginalized. The white people who wrote these works did not consider how the marginalized women were feeling. They were only thinking about what they think the marginalized women feel like. As a result, many authors find it difficult to get their works published if they do not conform to the expected ideals of what an indigenous life should be, as divergent experiences that do not follow the cliches are often dismissed. So because these people have written from their perspective for years, everybody thought that that is the normal, that is the normative behavior of the marginalized woman. But in actuality, it was different. For example, when Bhama, the Tamil Dalit writer, uses an uncommon style and a language far removed from the mainstream language to pen her experiences, she questions the mainstream expectations. An inconsistent narrative which community experience holding more significance than individual narratives, Bhama transcends the idea of mainstream genre classification. Through the writings, these writers take their readers into their everyday lives and overtly comments on the various challenges they meet as a result of discrimination. They show through the multifarious characters a native or Dalit life filled with energy, a group of people who live a happy life despite the harsh discriminations faced by them, in contrast to the life as depicted by the mainstream writers as victims or innocent, simple-minded, savage. Maya Angelou's poem, Still I Rise, echoes the spirit of such resistance from women from the marginalized communities. Let us end this unit with a few lines from this poem. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. You may shoot me down with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. This is such a beautiful poem written by Maya Angelou. Let us quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. This unit looked at three broad terms, race, caste, and ethnicity, and its intersection with gender. The often debated and discussed topics in the contemporary literary circles, it becomes mandatory for the women's writing students to understand the various internal debates within the field of studies. As we discussed in the introduction, though these terms are brought together under the same unit, one has to keep in mind the inherent differences in the agency of oppression. The unit looked at Black and Dalit movements to trace the evolution of Black and Dalit literature, which played a major role in the perception of indigenous and Dalit identities. But these identities, which were constructed, ignored the question of women within their own community. We also looked at how these silenced women and their uprising created an indomitable space within the literary canon. With this, we come to the end of Unit 8, Caste, Race, and Ethnicity. Thank you.